This is the June 11 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, along with Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Brian Stark of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online, look us up, and listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Just click and play right there from our website, or you can find us as a podcast as well. Look us up in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, NPR One, and even Spotify. Let's begin our discussion today with a review of the USDA report numbers released on Thursday. Wayne Nelson, there really weren't very many changes.
No, Todd, there weren't very many changes. And thank God they did do a little reduction of last year's crop and the production, because we knew they were going to take away, from the ethanol production. We knew they were going to take away from exports and the beans and whatever like that. And that helped keep us at least on a pretty steady basis on how we went along the way. So, you know, as we looked at this, it was a little bit positive, a little corn and a little bit positive beans, but a little bit negative wheat. So other than that, there wasn't much to take from this report.
Maybe Brian Stark, when you looked at it, did you see anything on the ethanol side that you thought was of import?
I think, the government was expected to cut ethanol demand 50 million bushels. I think there could be another 50 million eventually that comes off, and then we're going to see what driving demand does moving forward the balance of the summer. So nothing too surprising, as Wayne said. A little cut and resurveyed acreage from this past fall helped insulate that, and, we're back off focused on the current crop conditions here moving forward.
I know Todd Hubbs agrees with the extra 50 million cut in ethanol. I talked to him on Thursday during the day. What did you think of the WASDE report, Kurt?
Well, when you look at the WASDE report in general, I think we still got some extra surveys to go. We're not going to get below 2 billion bushel old crop inventory, but the significance is the new crop, 3.3 billion bushel carryout. That's huge. There's a lot of market in front of us, a lot of moving parts. But in order to get back down to where we are on this current crop year, we're going to have to see a 15-bushel reduction in yield. So we're going to have some weather problems or something to get that carry out to shrink quite a bit. But the encouraging part, though, was the feed usage. When you look at overall true feed usage, it was in there. If you look at the crush is up. You're moving, you're making meal, you're going to feed some meal. The other thing in that crush, though, is soybean oil. Soybean oil ending stocks are going to go up slightly, but the soybean oil price is flat line. So we got a lot of market in front of us and a lot of demand to see come forward here as we get more into the traditional buying period for China.
USDA now says the season's average price for new crop corn will be $3.20 a bushel, with a carryout of 3.323 billion bushels. It's one of the largest carryouts we've had for a very, very long time.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that we're seeing a lot of people be very scared of thinking that we're going to see much of a rebound in this corn. I know that there's a lot of things we're looking at. You know, some weather people out there now are seeing hot and dry July. Others are not. But that's one of the things we're looking at. We're looking at generally we see things maybe increase going into the 4th of July weekend and then look and see what the July weather is. With that kind of carryout, will we get the bump that we're hoping for? It's questionable.
Go through the changes in the feed and residual numbers and how you viewed those for me.
Well, when you look at true feed usage, it's there. Livestock weights are going to increase in through here. I think we're feeding a lot. But domestic demand, that consumption is going to disappear through that number. That's going to offset what we're losing in ethanol, I think. And hog weights are up over 6 pounds, and so we're seeing this meat consumption get back online. And that's what's going to help offset some of this ethanol loss we've seen here over this spring.
So we'll be doing in part of that, and I want to ask a little bit about the transition from DDGs to corn and how, from your perspective, running the elevator and within the ethanol industry itself, you see that transition and whether feed demand for corn is up because of the lack of DDGs.
The feed demand has definitely been up with the lack of DDGs, and you know, in the livestock sector, I think that once you get a hog on a complete whole corn diet, which they've done the last couple of months, it takes some time to rechange and reformulate the ration to make nutritional sense as you produce your end product. So I think corn demand will continue to stay strong, as Kurt said, on the feed usage side, and eventually DDGs will go back into the ration, but I think ultimately it's a factor of how many will be produced based on how much capacity is run at the ethanol plant. Most ethanol plants are probably only running around 50% and steadily increasing. I think the energy report this week showed ethanol supply up 9%, gasoline demand up 4.5%, and stocks still dropped on the ethanol side. That is all a good thing for ethanol margins in the spot, but they turn very negative as you go out past 60 days today, given the sense that we can't continue to produce ethanol greater than the gasoline demand increases. So I think at some point you find equilibrium, and I think that's going to be the tough forecast to see how much driving demand actually picks up here the balance of the summer into fall.
One thing we saw, and it's sort of crazy, if we continue to see airline traffic progress or get back online and on the curve that's moving on up, that we are going to be back a lot faster than everybody was saying to using airline fuel. Now, will that happen? Will there people start to travel this summer? I think if this stuff stays down, everybody has pent-up desire to have a vacation right now.
So if we can pick up some of the miles driven again, Kurt, and we can find some feed usage demand, maybe the supply chains start to straighten out some, do you see a technical way for the market to actually rally for corn or soybeans?
Yeah, demand base is there. You know, it's not robust, but it's doable when you look at the stocks to use ratio. It's not that burdensome, but fundamentally, we're in a situation now where we don't have a whole lot of weather premium in the marketplace, and we're looking at a situation here. We've got an entire growing season in front of us, and when you look at the charts, we've kind of carved out a little bit of a low end through here, and if the commodity funds as short as they are, over 280,000 contracts, it's kind of a storm in the process here of giving us some opportunity to see some strength. There's been no incentive whatsoever to kind of book forward here or get some purchases on the books. So this market's kind of in a position here where I'm not saying we're going to go sharply higher, but we're in a recovery process to give us some opportunities to get caught up on some sales.
You're shaking your head in agreement.
I am. I think Kurt's right on the money. I think when you look at the fund short position, 280-some thousand contracts short, I think they've been short a record amount for about 41 consecutive weeks, and you can easily see there's not a lot of weather premium. And the question is, if they have a reason to cover, will there be a natural taker on the other side with the farmer being a willing seller? I would tend to say that seasonally, you also see corn tend to rally latter part of June into the first half of July. So that's another reason why I think we need to be nimble and we need to be ready to make sales, because I think the market's going to give us some opportunity for a rally here in the next 30 days.
I'd have to agree. I think that there's some opportunities here. I think we're limited. You know, we're not going to go to $4.55 right now without weather problems. We're going to have to see. There's two things that can happen that can drive this market good. It's going to be the Chinese coming in, filling phase one, and coming in here and buying big numbers. That's going to help things. The other thing could be weather. You know, like I said earlier, there's one or two weathermen out there. They're talking for a hot and dry July. I have never seen, driving from Indiana over here, my crops as a whole look better than here in Champaign County and coming into town from Danville over here. Ponds, washed out places, drowned out spots, everything. The only thing that looks great is this wheat field right out here as we're looking at as we're recording this, and that looks tremendous. But all in all, let's face it, there's problems all over. We're seeing replant upon replant. You know, I'm having my customers that aren't close to home tell me, you know, they're 15 to 30% replant between Decatur and Bloomington, Illinois. And when that happens, that's 15 to 20% that's stunted, folks. And stunted or runts just don't do well.
So having the crop in not great condition early in the season really is, it's different than having the crop suffer after July, for instance, if it's made it through in good condition.
I would agree with that. I think Wayne's got great points. I think there's a section in East Central Illinois that has been inundated with rain, and not just the ponding, but the thin stands, the inconsistency. But, you know, an old adage I always used to go back to as a kid, it's hard to kill a crop in June, because I think a lot of times the rest of the growing season matters. But with that said, it's hard to say that the top end hasn't been taken off today, at least in this area. To me, that has impact towards basis in the cash grain side, has an influence on spreads, more so maybe than long-term sustained futures rally. So, again, reiterating what I said earlier, I think in the next 30 to 45 days, that's still going to be an opportunity to be a sell for me on the corn side as we get that rally that we should see.
So tell me about how you think this will impact basis, because you suggested that it does mean something to you.
It does. I think you can see the processor starting to feel a little bit of a lack of interest to selling new crop. Most of the producers we talk to are trying to figure out what they're going to do with the rest of their old crop corn first. They have, most of them have a good sound insurance policy. They have PLC selection from the government with good revenue floors in place. So there really isn't a lot of incentive to aggressively market new crop today, but we're seeing some strengthening, starting to see some strengthening in new crop basis, such as places like Decatur, who was up a nickel today in their new crop corn basis. So I think, you know, the saying today that we're going to see really cheap basis this fall with the start we've had in East Central Illinois, I think is a really tough statement to make. We may not get as cheap as people originally thought.
Just shorter term, though, we've got these July basis contracts coming due in through here, and that's going to be a real burden on the market here as we get in that last week of the month, just due to the fact there's just a huge, huge long position on that. So if you're in a position here where you've got some cash sales to be made here, I'd probably do it sooner than later.
How much sooner than later?
Monday.
Do you agree? I mean, this is a problem that producers have that they really have to address.
They do. Obviously, there's a lot of old crop that remains unpriced, and I think the majority of producers today, if you'd see a 10 to 15 cent rally in corn, would sell that over the next couple of weeks rather than look at a roll deadline of rolling to the September or even out to the December to kick the can down the road. So I think the market knows that, and we may be kind of setting up the battle lines of, do we get enough push in the next couple of weeks for them to be encouraged to price versus having to kick the can down the road and see what happens during pollination.
Going down the road 2 to 3 weeks put you right out at the grain stocks and the acreage number, and that could be a wild ride.
It could be, Todd, and like I say, the one thing that they've all said is price it because we think going into it. Remember, it's not going to be until you're going to have one day's shot, really, for pricing July corn for that basis with that report. Is it going to be good enough to shoot you up to 10 or 15 cents that we might go down 15 in between now and then for the guys knowing? You know, the commercials are awfully darn smart. You know, Brian's over there ready to take that grain, and he knows what you're thinking about. And I'll tell you what, they know when you're sort of in a hurting shape. Who has ever made money holding corn from middle August into middle of September? They know it's there. They know you got to move it, or they're going to charge you that in charge again, that 30 cents. I was in the elevator business too long to know that's not a time you push bids.
And there's a complicating factor, of course, for a large part of Illinois, which is the Illinois River is going to close.
That's right, and I think that's the discussions we've had the last couple of weeks, is what type of impact will that have on basis? You know, does Decatur have another successful source to pull corn away from the river, given the Illinois River being closed? Does it flow down to St. Louis? I think that's the million-dollar question, and obviously with a lack of a movement source or a supply that can, a demand source that can take the supply, you've got one less outlet to take that, and that could push basis direction either way, depending on how long the producer wants to sit on his old crop carryout on the farm.
Where do we stand technically, in your opinion?
Well, we're building a basin through here. We've got some cyclical lows here about 3-4 weeks ago. The concern is, as we go into the end of the month, if you're measuring out 9-10 weeks, we could be subject to some weakness. That might fit the fundamental picture here. We could have some strength short term. We're supposed to be dry 2 weeks. And when we're looking at that June 21st to the 25th, there's some possibility of some rain in through here. Short-term momentum indicators have rolled over here short-term, but we're above the shorter-term moving averages. changes. We've got to rally quite a bit to get the funds to come out of those shorts, because the 100 and 200 day moving average is quite a bit above the market.
Darrell Good used to go with this line early in the season. The season's normal until it's not normal. And while we have talked about a lot of things, this season remains normal with one exception. There appears to be a tremendous number of acres of corn that are in the marketplace. USDA says $320 for a season's average cash price. That means there's going to be a much, much lower cash price at some point during the year.
We could be under $3 with ease if the government is right on how many acres we planted out there. You know, are we under 95 million? Are we at 94, 94 and a half? That's going to make a big deal along with the weather and everything we're looking at. But if we have 95 plus million acres of corn, even if China comes in, if we have good weather, 320, that's a dream as far as cash corn goes. It could be more like 270. You know, and I don't like to say that, but that's reality. You know, there's a thing put out by Wisconsin University that said 37% of farmers' income is going to come from government payments. You know, and a lot of advisory firms right now are saying, you've got to start figuring what your government payments are going to be to get you back to profit level. Well, it's hard to say, because those payments depend on where the price ends up later in many cases. You know, it's just like insurance. Where's it going to be at? Where's the PLC? Is it going to be below 370 or close to 370? So those are hard to figure as we go along. But along the way, you know, things are looking good in a lot of areas. We've got the crop in pretty well planted. I don't think we've got more than 94.5 million acres. And I hope I'm right, and I hope that it isn't bigger than that. But it does look like that. The one thing I wanted to pass on, though, too, and say is, a lot of the big businesses or big offices where they're somewhat close together do not want their people coming back to work if they ride the train or the subway. And they're sort of advocating driving into town, carpooling with people there that are doing that. And that would add a lot more fuel usage to what's going on. Can we get sports running again? You know, look at the parking lots at any sports event. It's filled with cars. Cars parked here, cars parked everywhere. We've got to get a lot of that rolling to get our fuel usage up, to get our ethanol blending capacity and all that going along the line. So opening up this country is a big deal for the farmers right now.
Yeah, I agree with what Wayne said. I think the acreage is a big issue. I think ultimately it does come down. And I think the reason being, you look out in the West in Kansas, where they've been hot and dry for a long time. We know from our contacts out there that there could be as much as a million acres that was originally intended to be planted to corn that gets switched over to milo. North Dakota, South Dakota, they're going to have some prevent plant acres given their final planting date at the end of May. So I think the lean is that the corn acreage number was the high tick printed March 31st, but even so, to Wayne's point, I think it still has to be driven based on getting demand back, because even if you take 3 million off and we're down to 94.5 million acres, it's still too much if you have a normal crop.
Maybe harvested acres is the issue we need to focus on, because whenever you look at intentions and so forth, that's good, but actual harvested acres. But we're getting into a balancing act. You can move these acres up, down 1, 2, maybe 3 million, but the bottom line is yield. Yield moves to the bottom line more than anything when you look at that end results.
Does having that many acres of corn make very much difference for soybeans?
Well, sure it does, Todd, because if you planted it to corn, you can't plant it to beans. They don't do both. You don't double crop beans after corn here in America. Or South North America. But I mean, you know, like I say, so that is one of the big deals we're going to be looking at and seeing whether, if we did plant the corn, our bean numbers are going to be down. If we did plant the beans, our bean numbers can be up a little bit. But boy, the bean balance sheet looks a whole lot better on the stocks to use ratio. We hope that we switch a couple million acres to beans. We hope that they aren't real good in some areas other than here in Illinois and Indiana, because we would like to see, you know, the price be up there like that. But I mean, all in all, that's what matters, because we don't want to see corn acres big. I mean, we'd have to switch to beans, and I think beans we had a better chance of rallying because of the balance sheet.
What's the big difference between trying to market corn this year and trying to market soybeans and timing?
Well, I think that, you know, like you say, a lot of things. Number one, probably the government payments like the PLC or the ARC aren't going to work as well on beans as they are on corn and where they're looking at things. I think that we are figuring, remember we talked about that 37% coming from the government and how they're figuring it when it's going to be. If we get a rally late and they don't have to pay that, and we figured we were going to get 30 cents somewhere here or there and it isn't there, we could end up selling our crop for a loss and what's going on along the way. And that's one of the things that really hurts us. I mean, it's we like guaranteed things as we go along. We know what our insurance guarantees are. We know what the bushels or what the guarantee dollars are per acre in a revenue policy. We don't know some of these other things. These aren't guaranteed. And that's one of the things that makes it hard. But I think we have to be smart and look and say, hey, if we get up here where we can make a profit this year, we've got to be marketing a good portion of our crop.
Well, both have been a challenge, either corn or beans. The issue is we've received a lot of payments here over the last 6, 7, 8, 9 months, and guys have been hesitant to really push a lot of cash grain out the door until they have to. So at this point in time, where we are in the outlook, I think it's probably the conservative thing to do is put a price floor under you. That way we do get some strength or weather concerns in here, then you can start making those cash sales at some higher levels.
Yeah, I agree with what Wayne and Kurt have said so far. I think ultimately when you think about the difference in timing, corn seems to be most urgent. I think it struggles the most with thin demand or gaining back demand. I think with the bean side, you know, the way that Argentina and Brazil exported the first 4 or 5 months to China on the bean side gives pause to think that the U.S. could come back and get some late season business. It gives an opportunity maybe for greater demand base for beans to go where we may see a later season rally. So I think you can be a little more patient on the bean side, but corn I think is the more urgent thing, at least on the old crop to me.
What do producers need to really do this summer in the way of putting the pencil to the paper? Is it about the corn crop? Is it about the bean crop? I know it's about both, but which one do you have to really knuckle under and say, this is where I need to market, and this is the reason I need to market, despite the fact that I'm not seeing a price I like?
Well, I think it's going to be the corn, Todd, and I say that out of the fact that we're going to have more bushels of corn as a farmer. As we look at things, even if we plant 50-50, we're going to have over twice as, you know, up to three times as many bushels of corn to do. We have got to not take that percentage of our income and let it go down the drain. I think we have to protect and try to stay in business for next year this year. This is not looking like a good year for farmers. I mean, I'm sorry, I hate to say that, but I think that they need to protect themselves to survive.
Is 3.3 billion bushel carryout an issue with the commercial side on storage?
I think for certain it is. I mean, you think about 3.3 billion. We haven't had that large a carryout since, what, the mid-90s or even earlier? So, yeah, it's certainly a problem for commercial storage. The one thing I'll say is, you know, we've seen a lot of storage capacity being added the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. But still, that's a lot of corn to try and find a home for. So, yeah, I think that's a big deal. And I agree with Wayne. I think corn is the bigger challenge. But I'd even look out further that if we think 2020 is going to be a challenge, we think about our guarantee that we can protect today at 388, which is a 330 floor on the price component of an 85% RP policy, and we can look at a 370 PLC. Think about next February of 2021, what the revenue floor is going to be in an environment like this. You know, 2020, yeah, it's going to be a tough year, but I'm more concerned too looking out forward in the future. We got to execute really well on our marketing this year because 21, our guarantees are going to be quite a bit less, it looks like.
You know, we did mention two or three things that can be good that can happen. I do think we have to watch for a weather problem. I do think we have to watch and see what China does along the way. Both of those things can help us be positive here. So don't think just that we're all totally negative, but we do want to protect that all you guys are still in business next year. And I think watch for some good things to happen. Start scaling into this when we get the profit levels, when you add in some of your government payments so you can stay there. But don't get everything sold. Don't get too down on this right now because a couple of our real good weathermen are saying hot and dry.
I think the one thing I'll focus on is it's really about China. And I think, you know, going back to the demand component, the one positive thing I will leave the listeners with is that China puts out auctions periodically of their reserve. And generally speaking, they don't generally have much success selling 100% of what they put on the market. the last three times they've put out, the last 3 weeks, they've sold 12 million metric tons, 100% compliant. So that gives us a little bit of an upside that potentially they could come to the market to U.S. to buy some more corn. And again, I think the seasonality of the next 30 to 45 days is so crucial for the producer to take advantage of any rallies with his old crop at minimum.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to the whole of our program anytime you'd like on our website at WILLAG.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Brian Stark of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Dwayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.